What's up, everybody? It's been a long time no see or speak from Via Talk. I've been so busy with the coffee company, and I'm here today to actually talk about my relaunch of my nonprofit, which is a 501c3 against domestic violence. And I don't want people to think like, oh my God, she's starting another business. Since I am, right, like I am a serial entrepreneur, but I started this company in 2010. It's called One Way Treatment, Inc. It's against domestic violence. It's to help educate and prevent against domestic violence. And it's something that's a longtime passion of mine. It's just a lot has to do with who I am as a human being as well. And if you also know, been following my coffee journey, I also give back to helping abused women and children in Guatemala. So it's a mission that isn't brand new, but always has been a part of who I am. So we're rebranding. So I have a new website, and that will be dropping. And yeah, we have a lot of cool things. I'm here with Shauna. Everybody say hi, Shauna.
Hi, everyone.
And yeah, she's going to be asking me some questions.
Yes,
yeah, and again, I think we all too, this is a very serious subject. As we're seeing, like Drea Kelly, who was with R. Kelly, and she spoke out, and all the victims, Cassie came out, and you know, where there's some debate about her, you know, just there's just a lot of things where domestic violence is talked about more as well. And I think a lot of times it's such a taboo subject that we don't talk about it enough.
Not enough, yeah.
And exactly not right. To mention, almost every person we know, someone we know has been affected by it.
Right.
And before we get into, so domestic violence, a lot of people think it's just physical abuse. Domestic violence is mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, which is the actual bruises or whatever. Then there's sexual abuse, molestation, rape. And then there is also financial abuse. So you have all of these different forms of domestic violence as well that are not really often talked about.
That is true.
We only think domestic violence would be hidden abuse or raping or molesting, and that's not true.
Right. And it doesn't just happen to women. You have men who go through similar things, but
men don't talk about it a lot because
and they should.
They feel emasculated or feel ashamed. That's a very that's something true. Too. I want to in my platform, I want to talk more about because as a woman, I think it's absolutely insane and awful that if you accuse a man of abuse and he does not abuse you, I think that you should also go to jail.
Yeah, that is true.
Because you're taken away from women who really go through something or even men. And just to try to get licked back or try to be petty. And that's the ultimate petty because you're dealing with someone's freedom.
Right.
Or say taking away your baby father from the kids or something right. Just to be petty. That's ladies need to tone all that
right,
down
because it blurs the line. So then yeah. there are people who need the help. Everyone's going to be like, you have to jump through hoops. You have to do A, B, and C to prove that this is happening to
yeah.
you. So it's like basically put yourself in more danger to prove that you're in danger.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
And it's just not only that, it just makes you look like, I mean, at the end of the day, forget judgment on us. God's watching you.
Right.
Like, hello, you're just being an awful human being if you blame someone because you're mad at them, you know,
right.
for abuse. So
right.
we need to talk about that too at another time. But
you know, so. I got time for you, baby.
right.
I do have some questions for you. So
okay, sure.
I just want to ask you, what inspired you to make this nonprofit organization?
The nonprofit?
Yeah, I know you're a very busy woman. You do a lot of things. You're an artist.
Yeah.
You're a businesswoman. You're a mom. So
yeah.
You made time to do this. So what inspired you to do that?
Oh, it's so deep. So I've always been very honest about my, as you know, adoption. I've always been very honest about I was an orphan. So my mother, my biological mother, who is like did the most heroic thing. So my stepfather in Guatemala, my abuse journey started, you know, when I was little. So I was born into hate. Like, my stepfather hated me and would tell me every day he hated me and wanted me to die.
Damn.
And so, exactly. So, I would just hear him, like, it started off like that. Like, you know, imagine this is my first male figure. And here I am, 2, 3 years old. And he's saying it to me too in Spanish, right? So, I'm when it comes to Spanish, I'm so scared to speak it. The inner child in me, the mm-hmm. wounded inner child in me, because it was the first language I was being verbally abused in mm-hmm. or emotionally abused in. So when I do go back home to Guatemala, the little girl in me is like, don't speak that language.
It's triggered. Yeah.
It's a trigger. And yeah. So people don't understand how deep, again, PTSD or how like serious that is, right? So my stepfather was such a monster, and I've never really like publicly talked about it, but I mean, the amount of just physical and just like sexual abuse he did to me starting at 3, 4, 5, 6. And then he would make me watch while he was raping my mother and abuse my mother.
Right, yeah.
So it was like traumatic. he was sadistic. Like he was disgusting. You know what I mean? And I have like so many scars. And that's another thing. It's like, I think that, when you grow up, when you're a pretty child, when you're a pretty teenager, or you're a pretty woman, no one thinks you go through things. Do you know? And right. I often would wonder, like, why did God make me? Maybe God made me pretty because to hide like all my horrible things that happened to me. Like God was like, "All right, you can't have multiple struggles."
That's light of the situation, and I respect you.
Let me give you something a little. Like God, this is what you're all. But so honestly, my domestic violence journey started there. And for someone like my stepfather, who was such a monster, he would get off on pain. So seeing me cry or seeing my mother cry. So I taught myself at a very young age to not show pain or not cry, because he loved it. Right. And the final straw with my mother was when he took my ankles and like lifted me upside down and hit me over and over against a tree. And my skull cracked. Mm. And I remember falling on the ground and like seeing like my like whatever. And I could remember hearing like the insects or whatever. And
that's traumatic.
And I just remember wanting to die. I was like, oh my God, please let me die. Cause I didn't know any better, but I knew like this isn't how a little kid is supposed to live. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. And I think when that happened and my mother was like trying to like heal my head back together with no hospital. And then finally we, after all that like healed, we escaped in the middle of the night. And even while we were running away, he shot me in my back. So I have like a bullet wound, like just the skin. Crazy. This is what I'm saying. Like,
right.
So this is like my journey of domestic violence. Right. And I'm not getting into like the really nitty gritty, but it's so fucking traumatic and so fucked up. And something like that sticks with you when you're a little kid. When you're a little kid, when you're a child, a man in your life is supposed to be like, you're beautiful. And this is why a lot of young women have such issues who don't have fathers.
Right.
If we don't have fathers to tell them you're beautiful, you're amazing, you know, and he wanted me. And I think because he hated me so much, I don't know what it was, but like my self-esteem was through the roof. Like you couldn't tell me shit. Like I survived you. Like I was like, I'm amazing. Like, you know what I mean? And so knowing that me and my mother escaped and knowing like she took me to the orphanage and like knowing what she did to save my life, because this man literally was like, if you don't get rid of her, I'm going to kill her type of thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And imagine hearing that.
I know.
You're
as
five,
a mom, you have to do everything that you can to change that.
But imagine you're telling like you hate a child that much, like I want to kill you. You know what I mean? And then when I got to the orphanage, I mean, there was a bunch of kids there that, and I don't wish this on anybody. Again, kids that were given up by their parents. A lot of them were sexually abused too. So then you had the little boys trying to take us out of our bunk beds and rape us.
Yeah, that's wild.
So here I am going from one situation to another, right?
The next level.
So my point is that, like, it's such a, when you ask that question, it's such a, like, how did this inspire, right? It's like, it's been my whole life in a sense. So when you grow up like that, and even though I was adopted to good people, I didn't know how to, like, hugs when they would give me hugs. I didn't even know how to receive that or love, right?
Right.
So the inspiration is I grew up with such like trauma that I would even find men in high school, boyfriends, right? Because you don't know what love is, right?
No,
so the father of my child was abusive to me, right? But I thought that's what love was, right? And then the final straw was I wasn't even the father of my child. We went through a lot too, but it was 2008 and I was dating somebody, and I'll never forget because I had left somebody I was in love with who was like trapping in the streets, right? Because I wanted Chanel to grow up with a positive, like, Black male figure. And I thought because this dude went to Morehouse and was getting his master's and was kind of like a square. And we had met in early 2000s and were friends, but a lot of people don't know this either because you see me right now. So I didn't wake up with every day he was beating me or whatever, but he was very insecure, very jealous, which whatever. But one day he got really drunk and he stabbed me.
Oh my God.
And people don't know this, but I went to protect my face and I have knife wounds on my arm, my elbow, my knee, my stomach, my pelvic. Like he was trying to like kill me. And all I remember was when that moment happened, I went like this. So that's why whatever. And I just was thinking like, oh my God, I have to live for Chanel. And I'll never forget like when that knife dropped, we both stared at it and like I wanted to kill him so bad, but like I was like, oh, I can't wear this, like I can't, like Chanel can't lose me, you know what I mean? Right. But it was in that moment where he held me hostage, he took away my phones, and he continued to make me have sex with him. So like in a sense rape me over and over, where I had to pretend that I forgave him because he was like that sick. He even proposed to me.
To protect yourself.
He even proposed to me. Yeah. Like he was disgusting.
Just straight wild.
Just straight crazy. Yeah. Brought me to the hospital. Helped me. My girlfriend fell. Like it was insane. The whole thing.
Jeez. Yeah.
So he held me hostage for 2.5-3 weeks. After I escaped, I literally escaped barefoot. I told he had to go back to work, and I ran out the building and I call my mentor, like, I need help. Pick me up at the Museum of Science because we were living in Cambridge. I jumped in the car. I didn't have anything on my feet. I just had, like, a tank top. It was in the summertime in shorts. And I was like, oh, my God, help me, help me. And he's like, you got to go to the police. And this is something I never really went through, so I didn't even know.
Right.
And I just wanted to go back home to my daughter because he had held me hostage.
Right.
He had called my adopted mother and like was like, oh, we're out of the country. And what? My mom was like, but she usually calls, you know. Right. My mom knew that's something weird. Was wrong,
yeah, red
right?
flag.
So any bottom line is, I think I'm not like a police caller, but at that time I was like, oh no, I got to do this for my daughter. Like this isn't bigger than me. Like right. I got to do right. this for other women.
Is.
This
exactly.
isn't just about me. Like I survived this, but this is bigger than me. So I went to the Cambridge police, and they thought the story was so crazy that he was like Detective Mark Klevec, shout out to you. He was my guardian angel. And he was like, do you have footage? And I was like, yeah, actually, there's footage in the elevator. They got a warrant for his arrest. And they said that if they had waited like one more day, it would have, you know, like circles the videotape.
Yeah, yeah. So they can, yeah.
They had a warrant for his arrest. Excuse me. They went in with guns blazing. He was sleeping with another woman.
Oh, wow.
Who he had got pregnant.
Right on brand.
Right, exactly. But bottom line is, so after that happened to me and what I went through, and then it was like, all that was the straw that broke the final, like the camel's back. And I was like, all right, I can't keep continuing to live the inner girl in me, the little like abused child.
Right.
Like this is enough. Like this man almost took Chanel's mother, like right. almost took me away.
Right.
And I felt like almost I was like, it was so fucked up and traumatic, my trauma bonding with my biological mother, that I was like, the only thing we had in connection was abuse.
Oh, okay.
So I knew something was fucked up and wrong. Like I need help. So I went back to therapy. And, but in that journey, I went to my lawyer and I was like, I want to start a nonprofit against domestic violence because I knew how bad it had affected me.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times, because the way I look, because the way domestic violence is, viewed, women look like poor or disheveled or like, like, you can't be well put together, pretty, and go through domestic violence.
Right, then that's not true.
You know what I mean? That's why someone like, say, Cassie, when she came out, was like, or just say, like, it's so, like, you have to be, like, like the way
proof. Like, you have to have that look, that stereotype.
Yeah, the way
for people to take you serious.
Yes, the way media portrays, it's like you're supposed to damn near look like you're on drugs and like homeless to be like, oh, she's a beaut. Like, you're supposed to look like frail, right? Not beautiful and powerful and strong. Like, a beautiful, powerful, strong woman can't be abused either.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know we said that.
That's how it started. That's the journey.
That's the
journey.
For
me, domestic violence, unfortunately, and it's sad because it follows so many women. They never really get deep-rooted healing. Like I said, I went to therapy. It starts as childhood.
Right.
And then you grow up and you still don't know what love is. So you repeat it. And then I didn't want to pass down. The last thing I ever wanted to do was, I don't want my daughter to grow up with domestic violence. Right. So I need to stop this cycle.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, you know, that's some real shit though, it really is.
Yeah.
So because you lived through it, you've been through it, you're a survivor of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. What can you bring to the table as far as like a first hand in helping other women and other people going through something similar?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I started the nonprofit. I'm happy you asked that. I feel like there's a lot of people that try to donate their time for causes, and there's nothing wrong with that. But unless you've really been through it or go through something, like I know a few people, some of them like chair people or on board or run against like sex trafficking. And like, unless you were ever a prostitute or unless you ever know that life, you shouldn't really be in, like, you really shouldn't be talking about things that, like, you've never really been through. And I would never talk about domestic violence and, like, if I didn't go through it. To me, that's wild.
Right.
So what I bring to the table is firsthand knowledge and is understanding, too, what it's like to be a mother and to have a hard time with love and connection.
Right.
And how it's affected me and how it's made me, if anything, It's a pro in business, but it's also a con in my personal life, meaning I become so driven because I've lacked in other things such as emotional bonding.
Right. That makes sense.
So I'm such a savage in business because, you know, I lack other things. I'm still not married. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but no. It's hard for me to trust anybody, especially men.
Yeah.
So if I trust you and I love you, that's like big for me.
And I know in the business world, there's a lot of men. It's dominated by men right now. We're in 2025. There's still like a weird dynamic in the business world. So you're already going up an uphill battle just being a woman, a minority woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And with these men in business, like, I totally play that card like I'm so naive and I don't know because I just act like, oh, wow, really? Oh, I didn't know. They're like, oh, wow. And then before you know it, I'm like,
I can see that.
You got me so fucked up, right?
Exactly. Like, let's bring it back. Actually, that's smart, though. It's like, never let them know your next move.
Exactly. Like, you got, nah, I don't. But I do that too in relationships. I'd be letting them slide with shit and I'd be like,
I'm going to drink to that one. Let me get a little sip of my hot coffee.
So
what's the long-term goal for your nonprofit? Like, where do you see it going in the next few years?
I'm so glad that you guys asked me that. So part of this whole like fit that you saw today, you're looking at now, she was with me, Shauna, helping me. We just did a photo shoot for my rebrand and relaunch of One Way Treatment. And it's so crazy that I named it One Way Treatment 2010, because now the ultimate goal is to build a treatment center. Because what I realized was that when I was going to these domestic violent homes, shelters, I should say. Mm-hmm. So let me just, the two programs, I give women makeovers who are transitioning out of shelters.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So, like, by makeover, you mean like a refresh of everything.
Yeah, like hair, makeup, and I'll get clothes donated. Yeah. Just to make them feel good, get ready, teach them how to
get
wear.
Get that confidence back.
Get that confidence right. back. Because you know what it's like. Like, just getting our hair done, our nails done, our face done, our makeup. You're like, oh, I feel good today, 100%. Right? Even like, just, you can't tell me shit, right? Your baby hairs is popping.
Even just smelling good or whatever. They call it the clean girl aesthetic. But no, that's just like just naturally being clean, being put together and just ready for whatever comes at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
you get
so,
more opportunities that way. And
exactly. And, you know, there's a saying, like, even if you're down and out and don't have a lot of money, still always dress well and present yourself well, because with that is the law of attraction. And I know looks matter, honey. Looks mm-hmm. really do matter. Mm-hmm. So your image matters. So even if you're down and out. So I would go into these shelters and I would give women these makeovers. And shout out to my all the makeup artists in the past that helped. And
yeah, that's awesome.
You know, just all the people that donated clothes. So we will be doing that again. And I used to put on big red carpet events, and I would bring the women out that we picked, maybe 5 or 6 women, and they would walk the runway to make them feel like showcase their beauty.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
And that they're no longer a victim, but they're a survivor, right?
And it helps to build a support system. You know, I'm sure it's not easy going through those situations, like when you feel like you have no one and you kind of always want to gravitate back to the person who's kind of putting you in that situation in the first place. But if you have kind of a support system of other females who've been through similar stuff, it kind of just helps you be in a better place.
Right.
You know?
And I felt like by getting them out of their skin and out of the shelter and getting the makeover and having them walk in front of everybody too, it's brave, like letting the world know, like, I survived something and I'm still here. I'm still beautiful. I'm still blessed and I'm beautiful inside and out. So that was something I did. And shout out to the woman in the past who I did help and, you know, were part of that. And we will be redoing that again.
That's
and
awesome.
Thank you. My kids program, for those that do know, been following my journey, I used to do free basketball and soccer clinics because it was big for me. One of the things, how I feel like I survived what I went through, especially after I got stabbed, and just being physically fit helped me be mentally strong too. So the more physically fit you are, the more mentally strong you're going to be. And just physically fit meaning being able to heal, right? And things like that. So for my kids program, I used to give like free soccer basketball clinics, but I would like to launch an initiative where I want to try to give as many kids free scholarships to boxing, karate, so they can learn self-defense.
That would be amazing.
Because if I was a little girl and thinking about the little girl in me, and I could have whipped my stepfather's ass in Guatemala.
I know,
you know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying?
I know that's
like,
right.
Like, the situation would have been different, you know? And we have to really protect our children at all costs.
It's
and
true.
I know Trump is doing a lot, but I really would love, I wish whatever future president, I just wish that our health insurance would cover self-defense for little boys and girls, because
that is true.
Between kids being taken, between sex trafficking, and again, just little kids being abused at home, like these kids need to know how to defend themselves.
Right.
So with that, not only am I going to try to help get as many scholarships, but also help local businesses.
Right.
So if you own a local boxing club or own a local karate, right, or anything that's self-defense, I want to be able to put money in these local businesses' pockets too and make sure that they're helping, say, the inner cities, whether it's Lynn, Brockton, Fall River, cities that really need the funding and these small businesses and these kids where single mothers maybe can't afford to put their little boys or girls in self-defense classes.
That's amazing. Wow. That's awesome.
But the ultimate goal is to build a treatment center. And big news, big mic drop news. in the relaunch, my co-president is Sam Cassell. For those who don't know, Sam Cassell won a championship as a Celtic player and is now the head assistant coach. And him and I had a conversation. He's been my friend for over since Chanel was a baby. And I literally said to him, I've known you all these years. We got to do some type of business. Like, what is the point of us knowing each other? Like, I'm big on our friends. Like, even you and I, like, we do things together. Like, we got to do something.
What are we
going to
do?
And he was like, oh, V, he was like, he has a treatment center in Baltimore. So he was like, let's do a treatment center. And that's when it was just crazy. The universe is crazy. My nonprofit is called One Way Treatment. So it was almost like it was already written.
Right, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
That's such a positive thing. That's crazy how that works.
Yeah. And when I say treatment center too, and what he means by that is, I was noticing when I was going into these shelters to speak to these women that, like, one of the things that really disheartened me was a lot of them were there to get the benefits. So to get the makeovers, to wait for housing, like they weren't going to really get the deep rooted help. And right. I felt really hurt because I went and saw and got the help. And here I am now trying to help.
Right.
And I was like, oh, this isn't enough.
Right. What else can we do?
What else can we do? And I felt like I wasn't doing enough. Right. So with hopefully the treatment center, the ultimate goal is to, a lot of, unfortunately, women and men who suffer from domestic violence do drugs, mm-hmm. excessive drinking, mm-hmm. And have severe PTSD and don't know how to deal with their trauma, right? Right.
There's like no rehabilitation for that part.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, people don't understand, like, being mentally abused is lifelong lasting, like, and we don't talk about it now, or emotionally abused, right? Right. Forget just the physical and sexual.
That is true.
We're not talking about, like, if you're told every day, you ain't shit, you're ugly, you're going to eventually start believing that. Some people will, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's so important to speak life into each other, too.
Yeah.
You know, like, especially our kids.
It's a scientific fact, it's proven. They say, like, when you speak positive affirmations to plants, they grow nice and healthy, but if you speak negative things to them, they grow like all weak and like weird. Like, that's it's a
no
true fact.
That's a fact.
So why wouldn't it be the same for us humans? You know
exactly
what I mean?
And I think they did another scientific fact where they took ice,
mm-hmm.
and if you they put little droplets, and the person, one of the scientists, was like, oh, you're so beautiful, and they crystallized into beautiful.
Oh, that's so
beautiful.
Cool.
Like, yeah.
It.
And then the ice, where he was like, I hate you, I hate you, or you ain't shit. They look like nothing. Like,
those vibrations were like.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so important if you think about that. And that's why, too, even as adults, I know shit. I know you fight with your baby mother, your baby daddy, or your wife, your husband. Mm-hmm. You got to be conscious and mindful about whether you're fighting, your kids can still hear you upstairs, mm-hmm. or something, or what they're hearing. Because remember, kids are a product of you,
right.
you know?
Right.
And I'm so blessed where I had childhood intervention, where my adopted parents did adopt me at 8. They did put me in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, had I not had that, I might have been like a Griselda Blanco in this, mm-hmm. bitch, and been like, boom, 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 I'm right. angry, I'm killing everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
God.
You know? So,
Thank God we got this version of you.
Right. Don't get it wrong. I'm the other little one that's in me, though. I'm like, ooh, any given time, I'd be like, ooh, you don't even know who I am or what I'm capable of.
No, stop it. We came a long way.
So, but that's the ultimate goal in the treatment center. Sam is looking to a building. We're looking into something. And we don't just want it to be for substance abuse. We want to have in-house therapy.
Okay.
We want to have, learning programs. So whether you want to learn about business, maybe you got to get a business certificate,
mm-hmm.
cooking, being a barber, trades.
Yep.
You know, and I'm also to my coffee company. I want to, if you graduate, or if you are clean and you graduate a program, I will probably hire them to sell coffee in my coffee company.
That's an amazing opportunity.
So this way, and right. I'm combining all my businesses together.
Yeah, that's actually really smart.
Yeah, and this way too, though, like, it's still sticking true to my coffee company where we give back, not just in Guatemala, but here. Also here.
Yeah, that's super positive.
Thank you.
Look at you. This has been a good year for you, hasn't it?
Wow. Yeah. 2024-25 has been, honestly, ever since I found my biological family in 2020, my life has changed.
Yeah.
And just making peace, you know, with like my childhood.
Yep.
And think about this. I'm in my 40s. Like, this has been a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be so hard on yourself out there, too. Like, it's hard. And, I mean, let me bring it to you, Shauna. You know, you dealt with abuse,
mm-hmm.
in your life.
Yep.
And I'm sure people look at you. You're beautiful. You're tall. You're a model.
Things. Yeah.
And people, you know, you're not as outspoken about what you've been through as me. But you've been through some things in life.
Definitely. I was adopted at a young age, similar to you. You know what I mean? So it's like, you definitely see, and like, you can either learn from that and like be a better person and, you know, accept it and kind of learn that trauma about yourself, or you can kind of just hide it and not listen to it, but it will always come back up. Like, you know what I mean? It has to be addressed for you to like become who you are, if that makes sense.
Of course. But let me ask you this, like, not just being adopted, but have you been through abuse?
Not like physical abuse, but like mental abuse. We'll say verbal abuse, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you think that's affected you?
I mean, there was a point in my life where I kind of just suppressed it and I never really addressed it. But then it was probably like in my teenage years where it was like it all came out like a volcano. You know what I mean? But it had to happen.
Right. And think about that. When that all came out, how did that affect you in school? How did that affect you with?
Yeah. Like, you're like, it's like you're angry and you don't understand why. But it took me becoming an adult to be like, okay, that makes sense. And it took me actually seeing it in people younger than me or other situations to be like, wait. You know what I mean? Like, that makes sense. That makes all of the sense.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No, for real. Like, and it's something that like, it's a lifelong thing. Like you said, like, you don't just get over it. You do refer back to it sometimes because it's like you went through that. You know what I mean? You're a stronger person because of it. And it's all about how you are on the other side.
Yeah. And I'm quick to tell men, and this is why it's so heartbreaking when like, I do love a man and I open myself up. And I tell him, like, listen, I have abandonment issues. Like, my own mother gave me up. I got severe abandonment issues. So if you don't call me all day or don't call me for a week or 2 days a week,
it's the end of the world.
Then I'm like, exactly. And for you just might be busy. But to me, I'm like, oh, my God, I feel like that little girl my mom left at the orphanage. And I'm like, it's like full blown trauma for me. Right. Or not only that, like, it's like. And I know men, and especially women too, men and women, it's so awful because it shouldn't be your burden to hold my childhood trauma.
Right.
It shouldn't be.
Not at all.
But if I open up to you and tell you, and not just me, I'm speaking just in general of women, right? If a woman opens up to you and tells you her childhood trauma, she's been raped, abused, mentally, verbally abused, think about that and how you can love her better.
Right. So exactly.
You're a safe place.
Right.
And I mean, same thing for men. A lot of men go through things where maybe they didn't have their mother's love, or they didn't have fathers growing up. Right. Or maybe they grew up in a drug infested environment where everybody were addicts. Right. Or abuse. Right? Right. And it sucks because there's so many, I feel like, especially my age, mid-30s to 40s, undiagnosed, like, we're all traumatized adults, mm-hmm. and we're somehow trying to raise kids too, and we're somehow trying to like be in relationships, but a lot of us still haven't healed.
Addressing is like the biggest thing. You have to address it. You have to, you know, figure out why you do certain things, why certain behaviors. And once you do that, it's kind of like now you have like a slate, you know what I mean? You can move forward with it. You know what I mean?
But like, it's just that opening up too and having these discussions where
even in a healthy relationship, like you said, like the abandonment issues, if you have that, being open and honest and being like, hey, this is what it is, that lets the person know, like you said, you have to do certain things. Call me, check on me, make sure that you're keeping in contact with me, or else it's going to make me feel a type of way. You can avoid so many like confrontations that way.
And I think too, that's why it's just so disrespectful that if someone does open up to you and tells you their childhood triggers or tells you just things that they've been through and you don't take heed to that to try to make them feel safe.
Right.
Because it makes that person close up and not want to tell you because they're like, forget it.
Right.
You know, and someone like me, once I feel like I'm bothering you too much, or once I have to ask too many times, okay, I'll lift this whole couch up by myself. I'll go move a house by myself. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay. Once I ask you for help and you don't help me, or once I tell you, you know, my love languages and you don't tell me, because, and I saw another thing that's really, it's crazy too. They said that, like me, I'm a gift. I give gifts. Mm-hmm. I'm such a given person. Why? I didn't get anything when I was little. Mm. I didn't even have clothes when I was little. I was walking barefoot, you know? Right. So to me, they say that your love languages is what you lacked when you were a child. Right. So I give gifts, right? Random act of kindness, because people were so unkind to me, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you got to really pay attention to, like, what is someone's love languages, because, you know, a lot of the time it's what they're lacking, right, what they lacked, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And that would make sense why you would start a nonprofit like this, because at the end of the day, you're not looking for anything in return. Like, you're going to get that satisfaction from just helping people, just letting people know that, like, there's still good things in this world. Like, there's still positive people who do positive things. Like, not everybody has a vendetta or is trying to get something out of it.
Yeah. So that's awesome. And I think too, that's just something for me. I'm very religious. Again, I know not everybody, and whatever you are, whether you're Buddhist, you're Muslim, you're Jewish, mm-hmm. whatever your religion is, for me, I feel like I'm a servant. God put me through these things and somehow I made it. And now it's like my duty almost to serve. And if I don't serve, then it was like, why did I go through everything I go through to not turn around and try to help?
Right.
And if I have the resources, right, mm-hmm. and I have the means, how selfish of that is of me too.
True.
You know, like, you know, so I'm at the stage in my life where, by no means am I saying I'm like this multi-billionaire and I'm like, you get a million and you get a million, right?
I wish. I bet I had to.
Right, because honey, I'm trying, but
I'm cashing it before the bank even dries.
But and even given, how can you be a servant, right? If you don't have money, or how can you be part of my nonprofit? Donating your time. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm doing an event, come and help me. A lot of women and men, right? Or come on here and talk to me about your experience.
Right.
Let me know. Let's spread the word. Let's talk about uncomfortable.
Even just like donations, like clothes and stuff that you're not using anymore. Mm-hmm. Like the little things that people don't realize, like when you're starting all over, you have nothing. Like, exactly. You know what I mean? You might have a backpack. You might not even have a backpack.
Yeah.
So like all those bare necessities, like toiletries, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, lotion, and socks, and stuff like that.
And that's big too, because a lot of foster kids carry around trash bags. That's a horrible feeling.
I know.
And like, let's donate luggages, you know, mm-hmm. or things like that, and make them feel like, because I mean, I didn't even have, I don't know, I came with nothing. I was peasant poor, like dirt poor in Guatemala, right? But like, when I see sometimes foster kids, you know, and things like that. So, and again, it's kind of like, I understand a lot of us are going through such hard times. I mean, groceries is out of control. Yeah, I mean, it really is. But I mean, even if you see, like, I don't know, there's just so many ways to help, right? But just for me on my end, again, just having Sam as my co-president, where he has unlimited amount of resources, right? And just being connected to him, and he's my co-president now. I'm definitely going to try to help as many lives as I can, men and women. And again, I'm just here to serve. I'm just here to help. And I just want someone that my daughter, my friends, my family, and most of all, like my biological mother, to be so proud of me and being like, wow.
Right.
You know, because it's really an honor of her too. Because she didn't have, there are no resources like that in Guatemala.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. Well, you're absolutely on the right track. I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, anything else?
I just love you so much. I'm so proud of you. You know, I've been your friend for almost a decade now. Time flies. I remember when I first met you, I was just a small little model, like a little deer in headlights. And you definitely was like, hey, you saw something in me that I didn't even really see in myself, but just watching you level up. And I know you said earlier, you were watching me level up. So it's just like, it's amazing to see, you know what I mean? And I definitely appreciate you. I look up to you, and I'm excited for what's next with this nonprofit.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. And if a lot of you guys wonder, like, how am I going to be able to juggle the nonprofit, the coffee company, and just so you guys know, like, I'm not, it's interesting too, because I went to the North Shore Magazine networking event. It was not the one you and I did. It was called the Influencer, right? And I met a 65-year-old woman there who got an Influencer Award, oh, right? Wow.
Go off.
And she found her niche where she does midlife fashion, like for women her age, right? Mm-hmm. But she talks about health, but she also too has a thrift store to help domestic violence. Oh, so her awesome. And I are gonna meet up, right? But you know, when I'm in rooms like this where I meet entrepreneurs, I met restaurant owners, but a lot of them own 3 or 4 different companies. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I talk to people, they're like, it's almost like, and I guess too, I want to just be on here to be like, you could be multiple things.
Right.
Like human beings are non-dimensional humans. Like we're not meant to just be like, I go to work every day and this is my life and that's it. And even if that is your life and you're happy with that, I'm not trying to look down on it. But you can have other hobbies. You can have other interests. And you can have other businesses.
Right.
And again, so back to my nonprofit and my coffee. I'm launching 2 new bags. One is called Mayan Goddess, which is going to be an all-purple bag. The reason why I'm wearing purple too, you guys, is purple is the color against domestic violence.
Isn't it? It's Domestic Violence Month this month?
No, it was October.
October, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But my website, whatever, wasn't ready. And then I have Mayan Gold. It's a green bag with a gold sun. But that says a percentage of that will go back to my nonprofit. So, yes, I am going to make sure that if I'm profitable in my coffee company, I'm always going to be able to give back. So not only do I want to give back in Guatemala, but I want to be able to give back here in U.S., right? And with the launch of the nonprofit, I will have the website up. You guys can donate. 10 is my favorite number. My birthday's 10-10. So you can start donations at $10, $50, $100, or if you're a business and you know, first, second, third, fourth quarter, you want to do some write-offs, you can also, I don't know, donate 5, 10, 15,000. Honey, I'm trying to get that building. You can be right. Part of that. So you can help donate, right? And again, like, it's not for me. I really want to help as many people as I can.
Right.
And I want you, since you're on this journey, to be like, wow, I remember when she first did the relaunch. I know. And hopefully in 5, 10 years, you know, we'll maybe I'll have more than one treatment exactly. center, you know?
Right.
Because, again, that's all it's about.
The sky is the limit, though. I feel like when you're pouring positivity and you're helping people, like, it all will come back to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as long as you're doing positive things, like, you'll be able to expand and just spread more positivity, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, I guess, and that too, like, I mean, I want and another thing you asked me about, like, about domestic violence too, and we don't talk about this enough, I was bullied so bad in high school, bullied, and that's kids domestic violence,
yeah,
you know, that's because it's physical abuse, it's verbal abuse.
You gotta question what goes on in the kids' home lives that's for them to act like that.
That's my point. So people hurt people, right?
True.
So hurt mothers, hurt fathers, mm-hmm. down these kids are pissed and whatever. But I was like, the level of bullying that happened to me, I mean, I got kicked out of 4 or 5 schools because I had to defend myself, you know, like, it wasn't like I was getting jumped and I was like, oh, bet bitches want to jump me. Like, let me bring in some knives. Cause I'm like, this is life or death for me.
You gotta go.
This is so, but in saying that, like, that also helped me so what I want to was people to remember, like, for whatever businesses I own, but I'd rather be known to be a good, beautiful human being to even be known. Like, thank you, God, for painting me this way. Thank you for giving me my physical beauty. But my physical beauty has always gotten me, in a sense, like, it's almost been overwhelming, mm-hmm. to the point where, like, the bullying, because mm-hmm. so many girls hated me because of it, right?
Right.
Or jealous. Or now even men are so insecure and jealous to deal with a woman like me.
Right.
They want to be with a plain Jane. Mm-hmm. They want to be with, like, the woman who, when she walks out the house, no one really looks at, because it's too much to be with a woman like me.
Right, right.
So to me, it makes me work that much more just being a good human being, because I don't want to just be remembered as like, oh, she was just beautiful.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
She just looked good.
But she just looked good.
Yeah, right, right. And there's that's just surface. You know what I mean? There's no depth to that at all.
But I think that we're living in a society where like you're seeing people like just these celebrities, like just so much on their physical and their bodies and mm-hmm. like, and listen, I'm all about plastic surgery. I don't give a shit. Do it, right? Like, do whatever you need to do to make yourself feel happy, good, right?
Don't do it for anybody else, though. Make sure you're doing make sure it for yourself. Make sure you do it
for yourself, right? Joan Rivers, who's like, remember her? Do you mm-hmm. remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Joan Rivers was like, honey, get that facelift. You'd rather get out of a shitty car but a new face than a new car and an old face.
Stop it.
I said, I know that's racist, right? But my point is like, too, like, teach your daughters to not look up to like just superficial agreed. And like fake, you know what I right. mean? And like, and just fake titties, fake ass, fake whatever. Like also teach your daughters, especially to be smart, to be educated. And you don't have to go to college either. Like there's such other ways of higher learning, but like, and then this way, and teach your sons too, to like, there's more to a woman than her physical beauty.
Right, right.
And I just don't think right now what I'm seeing online and stuff, it's wild.
Scary, scary times.
Yeah. Like, I can't even imagine raising, like, young boys.
I know. It's tough, though. That's the next generation, so they have to raise them right, because they're the ones that are going to be leading the country.
Do you know that I also read, get this, that they said right now, they said currently boys from the age of 15 to 25 have never asked a girl out on a date.
Like, now? Like, in 2025? So... what is it, just
no
online?
In the past 10 years
oh,
yeah
the past 10 years.
They don't even, they just start like DMing, hey, what's up, what are
and
you
that's
doing
it?
That's it. Like, you know, like Justin, remember when you had to like ask a woman on a date and you had to fear that rejection, like is she gonna reject me or not?
And,
you know,
now it's like yeah.
they say like how oh. sad is that, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And in saying that, it's like back to communication. Like we're not communicating properly. So there's so much unhealed trauma that no one's ever talking about.
Right.
It's insane.
I know, that is tough. That's tough.
Right?
Jeez.
So is there anything else that you want to talk to me about?
We got the nonprofit out of the way.
Yeah.
We got the new coffee that you're launching. Is there anything else we can look forward from you this year? I know that it's October. We have a couple months left.
I'm launching new chocolate. So my chocolate farmer was no bueno, which I was sad about because she's a woman, but she just didn't properly know how to ship. And again, this is just like behind the scenes stuff that I have to deal with.
Yeah.
It's just people don't ever know. But my new chocolate, I'm really excited, which I will still give back, helping to a nonprofit in Guatemala called La Anza, helping sex trafficked girls and orphans. That's still big for me. I give a percentage with my chocolate. And my chocolate has my original orphanage face on it.
Just, I love that.
Just to whatever. But the new chocolate you're going to love... has, it's a bigger bar, has 6 squares, and each middle square will have Via.
Oh.
Yeah, in the middle.
That's nice. I can't wait for that.
The packaging will be more plain, but they have the sticker of my face, my orphanage picture. And what I love about this new farmer is he has his own facility. So opposed to my other farmer was sharing the chocolate facility with every other with anyone who was doing chocolate from Guatemala. This is going to be my private facility.
Okay.
So that's something new. I can't wait to relaunch the chocolate. And I'm on Amazon. That's new.
Yes.
And I'm killing it on Amazon. And I'm going to try to get into Whole Foods this year
too. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So pretty soon we'll see the Via Guatemala coffee bag being flown by a drone and just getting dropped off to my house.
Oh my God, stop it. Inshallah. That'd be so amazing. But that's the goal. And then obviously... I think the building's going to take a while you know, obviously, yeah. I'm going to be realistic.
Planning and all of that. And don't rush it, because, you know, I feel like the best things come, like, when you actually take the time and go through all the details and weigh the options. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Like, and I know it's exciting. You want to just kind of get right into it, but, you know.
Yeah, and just Sam's so busy, too, with his schedule that it's hard to right now to kind of get him down because he's in season.
Okay.
So it's something I had got to plan with him as well. But in the meantime, I will be trying to, for the spring, do a purple carpet event.
Nice.
And hopefully get some women who transition our shelters, get some makeup artists to donate their time, do their makeup, get them to do the same thing. And then the donations that you guys currently give now won't just be for, obviously, saving for the building. But I do really want to try to get as many children scholarships.
Yeah.
So, you know, to try to learn self-defense. So that's really what I'm trying to do now in the next year.
Okay, I see you, sis. I see you. I see you.
I'm and watching as far you. As my art, if you want me to do art, I am honestly not doing any commissions unless you own a building. If you have a hotel or a luxury apartment building, like, I'm not doing any more personal commissions. I'm sorry. I get DMs all the time. Like, do you still paint? Can you paint me and my dog? I don't have it in me.
Yeah.
And I'm just not picking up a paintbrush unless you're paying me like $5,000-$10,000. Like, I know it sounds so fucked up to
no,
say.
No, it's okay.
But, like, that's taking time out of my coffee company. Right. And I love, if you know me, fashion and art is who I am to the core, honey.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not going to pick up. And I'm so blessed that I'm at the point now where I can reject business.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Art like that, you know.
Right.
But I am looking, if you have a luxury apartment building or you got a hotel, honey, or you have a new sneaker store or a new restaurant, holler at me. I will make some custom art for you. But other than that.
All right. That's awesome. That is awesome.
What about you? What do you got going on?
I have a few things going on. I was nominated for Print Model of the Year in Boston. This is my third year in a row, so
they better give it to you.
Take some time, go to my page, Shauna Rose, and vote for me as the model of the year.
Yeah.
Yes, but still doing me, you know. I've been bouncing all around. I did Miami Swim Week, New York Fashion Week. So just kind of keeping the ball rolling, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm in a much better position that I've ever been in as far as my modeling career. So I'm just looking forward to what's next.
Yes, guys. So if you guys have like any major brands that might see this, New Balance, Nike, whoever,
North Face,
anybody,
Swarovski.
Yeah, like honestly, fashion, like this girl, you're 5'9", right?
Yep. 5'8" and some change.
Right. And like, honey, she just kills it. So
thank you so much.
And I'm so proud of your work
too. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, well, that's it. We're here. Thank you.
It's been real, y'all.